Would you turn, please, to the 8th chapter of Luke? Our Sunday school lesson today takes off where last Sunday school lesson ended. God has brought to our attention in this lesson that we have for today two different occasions. And the Lord was sought to solve the problem in both occasions. They're somewhat different, but they do have some parallel circumstances. And may the Lord help us as we bring this to your attention. How that God not only takes care of us while we're here on this earth, but how he will take care of us in eternity. We have them both in these chapters today, or in these two incidents today in our lesson. May we begin reading at verse 41 of Luke chapter 8, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, if we may. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, for she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. This same incident is recorded in Matthew and in Mark, as well as here in Luke. And there'll be some of the details are a little differently presented there than they are here. And I bring this to your attention because possibly I will refer to something that won't be in the reading that we have just read, but you'll know it's scriptural nevertheless. The Lord Jesus in this instance brings before us the needs of people, and we all have problems, every one of us. There isn't a person that we can look in the face and say to ourselves, that person has no problems. We just don't know the facts. That person does have problems. We all have problems. In the case of this woman, she came to the doctors, and they couldn't help her. She had a physical problem. And she came to the best people on earth for help, and they couldn't help her a bit. One of the other gospels say that she grew worse. Now, right now, there are at least two good doctors in this assembly. But some of us have problems that they cannot handle. I marvel at the grace of God in writing this in the Gospel of Luke. Luke himself was a good doctor, an MD, not a PhD, but an MD. He was a doctor, and yet God used Luke to write this, that the doctors could do that lady no good. And it was so that, I just wanted to bring this to your attention, God used Luke in our chapter today to bring this to our attention, and he was unable to do her any good, and whether she went to him or not, I don't know. But she did come to one, the great physician, the Lord Jesus himself. Now, in each case, there was sickness. This little girl was near death. Jairus came to the Lord Jesus for help. It's absolutely wonderful when a person will turn to the Lord Jesus for help, either in this life or in the life to come. And we'll cover both of these in this chapter this morning. The Lord Jesus can help us, all human beings. We heard our brother a while ago, Raymond, giving us problems that exist between human beings, not only in our families or in the assembly of God's people, but our government, our state and local and national and world governments are having the same kind of problems. And one reason why is because, as it was brought out to our attention this morning, they did not listen to the Word of God. They did not listen to the Lord Jesus. But they turned their back upon him and was going to handle it their own way. And not only did they fail in this world, but forever they failed. And judgment was pronounced upon them by God himself. Beloved, you and I are human beings created of God. He wants to get through to our hearts. He wants us to realize that in our problems, he's the one that can solve them. That's why he put some of these things in the Word of God, was so that you and I could look at them and be made to realize that only God can solve our problems. We can't do it ourselves. Our loved ones can't help us on some occasions. Thank God for good doctors, good helpers, our helpmeets. And in the assembly of God's people, for a group of Christians gather as we do here, it's wonderful to have help from one another. That's true. God does use us to help one another. But what we're talking about this morning is in a case where we cannot help each other. Pardon me. God wants us to realize that when our problems are severe enough, that we've got to go beyond ourselves and one another. We've got to come to the Lord Himself in order to get help. Now, on this occasion, Jairus was had his daughter, and she was near death. And in fact, while he was gone for help, she died. He knew where to go for help. And he did. He came to the Lord Jesus. And in one of the other Gospels, this same incident is recorded there. And the Lord talked to him, listened to his problems, and why he had come to the Lord. And the Lord said, well, let's go. Not like that, but that's what he meant. And they left. They started. They started to this man's house. Because his little girl was dying. She was the only child he had, and she was at that precious age, 12 years of age, a very lovely daughter, and he loved her very much, and she wasn't getting better, she was getting worse. And so he didn't turn to the doctors anymore. I don't know whether he had a doctor, whether he did or didn't have a doctor. This other lady who had had trouble with her body, her own personal body, she had spent all of her living on doctors. And they couldn't do her any good. But they went beyond the doctors in both cases. They came to the Lord Jesus. And he helped both of them. I don't know of anyone that has ever come to the Lord Jesus, ever, but what was helped. We're talking now about spiritual things. That is, that last statement was in regard to spiritual things. I do know that we pray many, many times, and it seems like our prayers go unanswered. But God in His wisdom is compelling us to come to Him. Have you ever thought of that? Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers right off, simply because he wants to force us to be in more earnest prayer. There were times when he prayed, and he prayed more earnestly. There were times when God's people pray, and then there are times when they pray more earnestly. God forces us to get right down on the lowest level and come to Him on our knees before He answers our prayers. But when He does, victory is complete. He has the power. He has the wisdom. He has the knowledge. And He's always listening to the prayers of His people. Now, these people, these two that have come to the Lord this morning, are a good example of coming to the Lord in prayer. In their case, they were in His presence. And spiritually speaking, you and I can come to Him just as much and be in His person. I thought of this morning, as our one brother, I don't see him in the audience now, but he read to us from Luke 24. When the Lord, and I'll just mention this, I realize that our time is, well, it's too short. I'm going to skip that. But nevertheless, this man had come to the Lord in person. And you and I, by the Spirit of God, are just as in just as much reality in the presence of the Lord in prayer as these people were in prayer. Now, in one instance, one of them prayed very definitely to God, and in the instance of the other one, it was the exact opposite, and yet God met both their needs. One man came and he absolutely fell at the Lord's feet, and he said, "My daughter is grievously ill. Won't you come and help her? She'll live if you'll just come and do what needs to be done to help my daughter." He was in the Lord's presence. He was praying. But as far as the other lady is concerned, you know, she came to him. It was very precious, but she never said a word to him at all. But in her mind, she knew enough about the Lord Jesus that if she could just come to in His presence, she wouldn't have to talk. All she would need to do would be to reach through the crowd and just simply touch the border of His garment, just touch His clothes, and she would be healed. So she never said a word. That same thing holds true as far as our soul salvation is concerned, and we're going to get into that now right away. But she touched His garment. Sometimes we talk about being saved. We want help from God. Sometimes we can ask God in prayer to save us, and that is perfectly all right. And sometimes all we have to do is to be obedient to the Word of God and receive Christ as our Savior. Now that it happens both ways. I can point to people that have prayed and asked God to come into their hearts, and He did. And I've talked to others that didn't pray a single prayer, but they saw from the Word of God that if we would receive Him, as many as received Him, God was giving Him to us as a gift. The eternal life was wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus. And God was giving Him to you and to me as individual human beings And all we had to do was to receive him. Just receive him. Just accept him as our Savior. And what happened? The very same thing happened as those who prayed and prayed and prayed for the Lord to come into their hearts. God has given us both examples right here in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes we can pray to the Lord, and sometimes all we have to do is to receive what he has already provided, and that is salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus. In the case of this woman that had touched, reached through and touched his garment, she never said a word, but he called to her. And she came and she confessed everything. She told him right in front of everyone what had happened. Thank God she confessed him in public, even though she was healed in secret. Sometimes we just simply receive the Lord Jesus. Some of us have done it in the bedroom at night with all the lights out. We've been to a meeting. We know what the Word of God says. And we just simply lay there and we accept Christ as our Savior right there in bed. Very private. Very personal. But it isn't long until the others know about it as well. Isn't that nice? That's what happened in this case. He healed her body instantly, just like that. And that's the way people get saved. The moment they accept Christ as their Savior, they're saved just that fast. Anybody, everyone, for God so loved the world, that takes those of us in York, Pennsylvania, we're included in that verse. Those of us right here in this room are included in the love of God. And she came and she confessed to him everything. And you know what he said to her? He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." It's by faith. These persons came to the Lord Jesus by faith. Even though they were in his presence personally, it was by faith. He told this lady that. He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." In the previous chapter, I won't turn to it, but previously he said to another lady there, "Thy faith hath saved thee." Was it really their faith, or was it that their faith brought them to the Lord Jesus? That's what God wants to get across to us this morning. Faith brings us to the feet of the Lord Jesus, and he has the power to save us. Even though he told this lady, and he told many others, that when they came to him, he says, "Your faith has saved you." Why? They came to the Lord Jesus, and he was the one who saved them. They were astonished at that little girl. She was dead by the time the Lord and his disciples, Peter, James, and John, arrived there. And he took his disciples and the parents of the children, Jairus and his wife, into the little girl's presence. And she was gone. She was laying there motionless. And he took her by the hand and he said, "Maid, arise." And she did that. And he commanded them to give her meat. For she was, and one of the other gospels says she was walking. And they couldn't believe it. Our Lord Jesus has that kind of power. You just can't hardly believe what he can do. He can save us forever. And he can keep us saved while here on this earth, in spite of all the sin that's around us. I heard some brethren confessing this morning that sin within us, we're confronted with it. We don't know what to do about it. God says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We can't change it. God never changed our flesh a bit when he saved us. He didn't try to improve it. He just gave us a new life. And the flesh is still with us, and we're confronted with it daily, all the time, all of us. May God deliver us, and he will deliver us when the Lord Jesus comes for the church. That is the thing that impresses me so much with the Lord's coming, is the fact that God is going to deliver Eldon Baird from Eldon Baird. He's going to change us. This mortal shall put on immortality. Mortal simply meaning I'm subject to death. And those who have already died, he said, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. We're completely delivered from the old nature by the Lord himself when he comes. He's a complete deliverer. Right here and now, in our daily lives, he can give you and me the victory through himself. He has the power. Now, for just a few minutes, I would like to read this last verse of this chapter. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, why did the Lord make such a command after performing this miracle? We can ask ourselves the question. The Lord Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Now that's an eternal event. He came into the world to save us from our sins. All the other problems that we have in this life are a result of sin, which he will help us in, but he came to save us from the sin itself. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God can deliver from this, from sin itself and from the judgment that is upon us. As our brother read to us at the beginning of the meeting at Capernaum, when he mentioned the woe on those who had heard the word of God and turned their backs upon it. God can deliver us from the punishment and from the guilt of our own sins. Now, that was the reason why he came into the world. But what was he doing here? What was he doing in our chapter that we read this morning? Well, in everyday language, according to the unions, labor unions, he was doing what they called, can't think of it at the moment, but it wasn't the main issue. It was a side issue. I still can't think of it. If anybody can help me, do so. But anyway, it was a fringe benefit is what I wanted. That's what the Lord was bringing to our attention, some of the fringe benefits of being a child of God and coming to the Lord. But what he did here didn't last but just a few years. And beloved, that's what God wants to bring to our attention this morning. He wants to help us in this life, but that wasn't the real reason that he came. He came to save us from the penalty of our sins forever. and to have us in heaven with himself forever. That was the reason he came into this world, not for the fringe benefits of life on this earth. Here he told these people, don't you tell the people about these fringe benefits. You get right down to the main issue of forgiving sins and receiving eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do, was to die for our sins. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. The scriptures. It isn't that someone gets up and speaks to an audience of people like this and gives out their own ideas. But this is according to the word of God that we're saying from this pulpit in years past. This is a part of the word of God. It isn't something that we've concocted in our own minds and hearts that we would like to have others believe and rejoice in. There are some people who are very apt at doing such things. But not the Christian. The Christian preaches the word of God and the gospel. The grace of God in sending Christ to die for our sins so that we can accept him officially as our Savior is what God wants us to know and to understand through the word of God. Christ died for our sins, not to deliver us from the evils of this world. That is an extreme temporary measure. But what God wants to get across to our hearts is that he wants to bless us eternally, forever and ever, through the work of Christ, in the forgiving of our sins. And God can righteously do that now because Christ died for them. And you know why Christ died for our sins? God's decree against sin is death. I wasn't around. God never asked me as to what kind of a decree he would put against sin, but he says it's death. Physical and spiritual. Death. Now, who's going to die in your place? Yourself? And be eternally separated from God? Or accept the Lord Jesus, who has done it for you, as well as for all the world? That's why God wants Christ preached as the Savior of sinners, is because God can actually forgive our sins because of the fact that Christ has already paid the penalty for our sins. But if I go along and reject Christ as my Savior, there's nothing left for me but to die for those sins myself and to be eternally separated from God in heaven because I will not accept what God has done in my behalf. Now, there may be some people. Most of you are strangers to me. Most of you. There may be some here that need to have their sins forgiven. And God wants you to accept Christ as your Savior. These people came to Christ for the fringe benefit. It was for a very temporary purpose. And God didn't want that made known. He wants Christians now to go everywhere preaching the gospel. That's permanent. Not only in this life, but for billions and trillions of years multiplied many, many times, eternity. He wants to save us. He will do it. He's done it with most of us here this morning. Why? Because we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And he can do it for you. If you're here this morning unsaved, your sins are still pressed upon you. Don't die for your own sins, except one who has already done it for you, the Lord Jesus. God can righteously forgive your sins if you will accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, there's where our responsibility comes. Our responsibility comes right down to where you and I are involved. And no one else can be involved for us. Parents for children, or it doesn't make any difference what the relationship is. God wants us to realize that we can't help each other at this point. Doctors, as professional and as educated and as fluent as they are in medicine, can't help us one bit as far as our sins are concerned. They're a beloved profession. No one is looked up to as much as an MD. But they can't help us. They couldn't help these people even in the fringe benefits even. But no professional can help any of us. It is a personal matter between ourselves and our God. We can't look to anyone else. We must accept the Lord Jesus ourselves personally. May he help us to do that this morning, if we're here this morning unsaved. And weren't you going to ring a bell this morning? The clock says we're... I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put him on the spot like that, but I sure did. I just wondered if he'd forgotten. But it's time for us to close. Thank you, brother. Shall we close in just a word of prayer, please? Our Father, we come to thee, thanking thee for the Lord Jesus and for the fact that he's our Savior and wants to be our Savior. And we're so thankful that he was given of God because the Lord wanted to keep us out of the wrath to come. Bring us into his glorious presence forever. And we're so thankful as the children of God, we don't preach Christ as the healer necessarily, although he can and does, but we preach the gospel, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the word of God. Oh God, we're so thankful to have such knowledge. Thou art very gracious in giving us such knowledge. We pray thy blessing upon thy word as it has been ministered in the Sunday school classes by the various teachers. We ask thee to search our hearts, cause us to realize in our own souls where we stand before God. Help us to accept the Lord Jesus if we're here this morning unsaved, and those of us who are saved, help us to honor him with a clean life, all for his glory and for his honor. O God, we give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus and for all else that we have. In his most worthy and precious name, amen.
What if you turn over to an old-time favorite, 162. 162. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart. Story most precious.
tell me the story, most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how in his life he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of
it. We shall read at verse 35. Again the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We shall read at verse 18. Matthew 4 and at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now will you turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Reading at verse 5, John 6 and at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, who hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sitting down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above that which they had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet which should come into the world. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word. I'm sure everyone here today has heard the name D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists that this country or the world has ever known. And the work that he established so many years ago continues right up to this present time. However, I wonder how many of us know the name of the man who is instrumental in leading D.L. Moody to Christ. One day, that man in Boston went into a shoe store and he witnessed to Dwight Moody. He said afterwards that he felt that his presentation was not as effective as he would liked it to have been. He felt that he had not expressed himself as fully as he wanted to express himself. Nevertheless, through that witness,